California summers, right? That golden sunshine just begs for a dip in a cool pool.
Absolutely. It's almost iconic California living.
It really is. And whether you own your own little slice of paradise or maybe you're renting a place with that, shimmering water feature, there are some absolutely critical things you need to understand about keeping everyone safe.
That's right.
So today, we're taking a deep dive into California's residential pool safety requirements. This is crucial info whether you're maybe signing a lease with M&M Properties or just maintaining your own backyard oasis.
Exactly. And what might seem like just, common sense, it's actually rooted in very specific, very vital laws. They're designed to prevent tragic accidents.
Right.
We're going to break down exactly what these regulations entail, who they apply to, especially folks involved with rental properties, like you mentioned, M&M properties, and maybe most importantly, the profound reasons behind them.
And those reasons, gosh, they can't be overstated, can they? We're talking about saving
We
lives.
really are.
Here in California, I mean, the statistic is stark. Drowning is the second leading cause of death for kids aged 1 to 4.
Yeah, that one really hits home.
It does. And it
Yeah.
just highlights why these rules are so important. So our mission in this deep dive is basically to give you a clear, concise understanding of these requirements.
Cut through the confusion.
Exactly. So you, whether you're a landlord with M&M Properties or you're a tenant or a homeowner, you can help ensure the safest possible environment.
And this framework of safety measures, it's actually developed over time. It reflects a growing understanding, really, of how to prevent these awful tragedies. California initially tackled this with the Swimming Pool Safety Act way back in 1996.
Right. I remember hearing about that one.
Yeah, but interestingly, that original law, it only mandated a single safety feature.
Just one. Wow. Given the risks we just talked about, that does seem, well, surprisingly minimal looking back.
It does, doesn't it? And recognizing that ongoing need for, more robust protection, the state passed Senate Bill 442, SB 442.
It's B442. Okay.
It was passed unanimously back in 2017, took effect January 1st, 2018. And this was a significant update, a really big step from that single requirement to a much more comprehensive approach.
Okay, so what's the key change? What did SB 442 actually introduce, especially thinking about those managing or renting properties, say, through companies like M&M
Yeah,
Properties?
the core change is this. For any new pool construction or even significant remodeling, that gets permitted after January 1st, 2018,
Okay.
at a private single-family home. This absolutely includes rental properties managed by firms like M&M Properties. The pool must now have at least two of seven specific drowning prevention safety features.
Two. Okay, not just one anymore. Two.
Exactly. It provides a much more robust safety net, multiple layers of protection, essentially.
2 out of 7, that definitely sounds like a stronger safeguard. Now, for our listeners who might be brave enough to look at the actual legal text, our research kind of flagged a potential point of confusion, something about specific sections of the California Health and Safety Code. Could you clarify that, especially for, property owners and managers trying to get it right?
Certainly, that's a really good point to bring up because it can be confusing. So you often hear section 1115923 of the Health and Safety Code mentioned,
Right.
but it's actually section 115922 that lays out the main requirement, the one that says you need at least two of those seven safety features.
Okay. 115922 for the two feature rule.
Exactly. Section 115923. That focuses very, very specifically on the details for one of those seven options, which is the enclosure, the fence, basically.
Got it.
So if you're trying to understand the fundamental rule about needing multiple safety measures, you want to look at 115922. That's crucial for anyone managing properties like M&M Properties to understand clearly.
That's super helpful. Thanks for clearing that up. It helps navigate that legal landscape. So let's break down those seven safety features then. What are the actual options that property owners, including those managing rentals at M&M Properties, need to pick from?
Okay, so property owners have these seven distinct options, and they need to pick at least two.
Right.
First up, there's an enclosure. This is the fence we just mentioned. It has to meet those really detailed specs in section 115923. And the key is it has to isolate the pool area completely from the home.
Isolate it. Okay.
Second option, removable mesh fencing. This isn't just any mesh fence. It needs to meet specific ASTM standards, F2286, I believe.
ASTM F2086. Okay.
Yeah, that covers things like strength and design. And it has to include a gate that's self-closing, self-latching, and importantly, you can lock it with a key.
Self-closing, self-latching, key, lockable. Got it. What's third?
Third is a safety pool cover. This can be manual, you know, the kind you pull across, or it can be power operated. But the crucial part is it must have a label that verifies it complies with another ASTM standard, F134623. That ensures it's strong enough to actually prevent someone from falling in.
Makes sense. Need that certification.
Number four.
Fourth are exit alarms. Now, these aren't alarms for the pool itself, but for the doors and windows of the house that lead directly out to the pool area.
If there's no fence in between.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no intervening enclosure. True. It acts as a critical alert if, say, a child opens a door heading towards the pool unsupervised.
Okay, that's clever. Fifth option.
Fifth, self-closing doors. So similar idea. Any door from the house that gives direct access to the pool has to have a device that makes it automatically close and latch shut.
Right.
And the release mechanism, the latch handle basically, has to be positioned at least 54 inches above the floor.
54 inches? Why that specific height?
It's designed to be out of reach for most young children, trying to prevent them from opening it themselves.
Okay, makes sense. Number six.
Number six is a pool alarm. This is an alarm for the pool water itself. It needs to be in good working order and designed to sound an alert immediately if there's unauthorized entry into the water, like if someone falls in.
So detecting motion or displacement in the water?
Precisely. And then finally, number seven is kind of a catch-all, other protective measures.
Oh, like what?
Well, it's less defined. It basically says any other measure has to meet established industry standards and provide a level of safety that's equivalent to the other six options.
So maybe newer technology or something?
Potentially, yeah. Things that provide comparable protection. It allows for some innovation, I suppose.
That's a really comprehensive list. It's good that there are multiple ways to hit that two-feature requirement. It gives flexibility for different homes, different layouts, something M&M Properties probably deals with across various rentals.
Exactly. There's no one-size-fits-all sometimes.
Now, you mentioned section 115923 has all those details about enclosures. Since a fence is, you know, a pretty common choice, can we dive a bit deeper into those specific requirements?
Absolutely. Happy to. So if a property owner, or say M&M Properties for one of their rentals, chooses that enclosure as one of their two safety features, it's got to meet some pretty strict criteria.
Okay.
Firstly, any gates have to open away from the pool, outward.
Away from the pool? Why is that?
It's a deliberate design. It prevents a small child from being able to just push their way into the pool area if the gate isn't latched for some reason.
Clever. Okay. What else?
The gates also have to be self-closing and, again, self-latching. And critically, that latch mechanism, the part you actually use to open the gate, must be located at least 60 inches above the ground.
60 inches this time, even higher than the door latch.
That's right, 60 inches. Again, specifically chosen based on studies about the average reach of toddlers, trying to make it a real barrier against unsupervised access.
That height requirement definitely makes sense for keeping little kids safe. What about the fence itself? Other specs?
Yep. The enclosure of the fence structure must have a minimum height of 60 inches overall. Same height as the latch requirement.
Okay, 60 inches high.
And the maximum vertical gap between the ground and the bottom of the fence can't be more than 2 inches.
2 inches max at the bottom? Why so small?
To stop small children from squeezing underneath.
Mm.
Or even, you know, a toy rolling under that might tempt a child to try and reach for it.
Right, right. Good point.
Furthermore, the fence has to be built so there are no openings or gaps anywhere in it that would allow a sphere, like a ball, with a diameter of 4 inches or more to pass through.
A 4-inch sphere test. Okay. Right. Specific.
Very specific. That diameter is generally considered about the maximum size a very young child's head or body could potentially squeeze through.
Wow. Okay. And there was one more point about enclosures. Something about the outside surface.
Yes, that's important too. Mm-hmm. The exterior surface, the side facing away from the pool, has to be essentially smooth, free of any protrusions, cavities, indentations, basically anything that could serve as a handhold or foothold for a young child to climb on.
So unclimbable from the outside.
That's the fundamental goal, making sure a child under 5 can't easily scale the fence. It's all about creating a truly isolating barrier to prevent that unsupervised access we keep talking about.
Man, that level of detail really shows the focus on preventing unsupervised access, especially by young kids. That's absolutely paramount for property owners and managers like M&M Properties to keep top of mind.
Absolutely.
Now, let's shift gears slightly. A lot of our listeners might be renters. How do these rules specifically apply to rental properties here in California?
Yeah, this is a super important point for listeners.
Yeah.
Definitely for companies like M&M Properties, managing those rental homes with pools.
Right.
The Swimming Pool Safety Act applies to all private single-family homes with pools, period. It doesn't matter if it's owner-occupied or if it's being rented out.
No distinction.
The law makes no distinction. So if a landlord or a property management company like M&M Properties is building a new pool or doing a major remodel on an existing pool at a single-family rental, and that permit was issued after January 1st, 2018, they are absolutely legally obligated to comply. They must ensure at least two of those seven safety features are in place and working.
So for our listeners, renting a house with a pool, maybe through M&M Properties, if that pool is relatively new or was recently redone, they should expect to see at least two of these safety measures implemented. And maybe if they don't, that's a conversation worth having.
Precisely. It's not just about the owner or the management company ticking a legal box. It's fundamentally about the safety and well-being of everyone using that pool, especially kids.
Right.
Companies like M&M Properties really do play a vital role here in making sure these standards are met for their tenants. Safety has to be priority number one.
We touched on this earlier, but the why behind strengthening these rules is just so critical. Can you maybe remind us of those alarming statistics just to really drive home the importance, especially for people in the rental market and those managing rentals?
Yeah, it's sobering, but important. Between 2010 and 2014, right here in California, we tragically lost 160 children aged 1 to 4 due to drowning.
Oh, man, 160 kids.
And it's not just fatalities. In that same period, over 741 children in that same vulnerable age group were hospitalized, many with severe life-altering brain injuries from drowning incidents.
Over 700 hospitalizations. That's wow.
These stark numbers, they just paint a really clear picture of the public health crisis these laws are directly trying to address. The shift, you know, from requiring just one safety feature to mandating at least two with SB 442. That was a direct and frankly necessary response to these devastating statistics.
Those figures are truly heartbreaking, and they really underscore why these regulations are so vital, not just for homeowners, but maybe especially for the rental community where families with young children might live temporarily.
Exactly.
So, okay, we have these important laws. How is all this enforced? It's one thing to have the rules, but how do we ensure property owners, you know, including rental management companies, are actually complying?
Right. Enforcement is key. The legislation actually included a strengthened enforcement mechanism. Specifically, home inspectors are now required to check for these safety features.
When? Like always?
At the point of sale. When a property is sold, they have to verify the presence of the mandated safety features.
Ah, okay. So when a property changes hands, there's a check.
Exactly. It provides a pretty significant check-in point to ensure features are installed and helps promote broader compliance across the state. It adds a layer of accountability.
That seems like a really important step towards better compliance, having that point of sale check. And for property owners then, including landlords and firms like M&M Properties, what's the sort of bottom line message here about compliance?
Well, for property owners and managers, compliance isn't just, you know, ticking a box on a legal form. It's really a fundamental ethical responsibility, a responsibility for the safety and well-being of anyone who might use their pool. By putting in these multiple layers of protection, they are significantly reducing the risk of terrible accidents.
And presumably limiting liability, too.
Well, yes. Compliance can certainly help limit potential liability if, God forbid, an incident does occur. But the main driver should be preventing that incident in the first place. It's about being proactive, prioritizing safety, and ensuring that rental properties, like those managed by M&M Properties, offer the safest possible environment for tenants and their families.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. To recap our deep dive today, California law, specifically Health and Safety Code Section 115922, says that all private single-family homes with pools built or significantly remodeled after January 1st, 2018 must have at least two of those seven specific drowning prevention safety features we talked about.
Minimum of two, correct.
And crucially, this absolutely applies to rental properties. So it's vital info for tenants, landlords, and property management companies like M&M Properties to be aware of.
That's the absolute key takeaway. Understanding these rules, following them, it isn't just about avoiding legal trouble. It's an active step, a crucial step in safeguarding children and preventing truly devastating accidents, especially right there in residential settings, including rental communities.
Absolutely. It's about creating safer environments for our families, for our communities. You know, thinking about all this, these vital layers of protection that the law mandates, especially for residential pools, including rentals, it kind of prompts a final thought, doesn't it? Like, What additional proactive steps, maybe going beyond just these legal requirements, could individuals, whether they're homeowners or renters, take to further boost water safety right in and around their own homes or maybe even their neighborhoods?
That's a great question to leave people with, thinking beyond just compliance.
Yeah. Something definitely worth mulling over long after this deep dive concludes.